Today, I am excited to have my friend and brother, Pastor David Bunch, with us. Many of you know him because he's preached for us before. If you don't know him, he pastors the church that meets in our admin building, so they are more than neighbors. They meet right here. We, as a church, have been praying for his wife, Miss Belinda, and so we continue to pray that God works through her health and heals her and brings her back to complete health and for his glory and for the work that they're doing right here partnered with us. And so we're so grateful to have them as a part of our church family and our friends. And so we're excited to hear from him today. And so if y'all would give him a warm new passion welcome, even if you're online, some thumbs up, some hearts, all that stuff. And so wherever he is at, Pastor Bunch, you come on up. And we're grateful to have him with us today. You may want to come this way because we're still under construction. So I see my friends, the Adams here. I would sit with them, but COVID and all. So I'll have to social distance hug them after service. I get to sit with my wife today. So Pastor Bunch, excuse these bricks. I forgot to remove my bridge from last week. I was out of town this week. So welcome. It's all yours.
Give God a hand clap of praise for your pastor. Amen. Amen. It's truly a pleasure to be found in the house of the Lord once again. I want to start out by saying, first of all, thank you to New Passion. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for having the heart of God for more than just in-house folk. We're all family by the blood of Christ, of course. Amen. And your prayers mean more than you'll ever know. I watched my wife suffer since January the 3rd. It was a traumatic scene, something to deal with as a spouse. There are many who God sent to help us along this journey. But the guy that I call Brother Dad, as well as Pastor Jack, your pastor, Nick Carnes, and his wife, literally, especially him, made me eat. If you understand anything about watching a loved one suffer, appetite takes second place. You're on your knees. You're walking the halls crying. You're doing all of this stuff. And sometimes you forget about to take care of yourself. But these guys would minister to me in a way that some would never think. And what's so awesome about it is kingdom. It's not a section that says, well, he don't look like me or she don't look like me. I'm going to take my Jesus and go in my corner. Let them get theirs. These are a bunch of kingdom-minded folks. And New Passion, give yourself a hand. I thank God for you. Amen? I thank God for you. Thank God for you. Brother Dad made me eat. We're going to get right into the word of God. We have an awesome word, I believe. For myself, I know I was always taught by an older pastor, if the word that you study doesn't cut you first or do any good in you, it won't do much good to the people that you're speaking to. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer, and we're going to get right into the word. Father God, I thank you now for this opportunity to speak your word before your people. Thank you, oh God, for choosing me, oh God, this day. You didn't have to. But you did. Lord, I ask now that you speak to and speak through your servant. Speak, oh God, for your people are listening. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. There's a lot going on amongst the pandemic. We also have another ugly monster that has reared its head, and we know it as racism. Racism. As we go through these few moments in Scripture, I want us to try and find ourselves in Scripture. As a believer and a follower of Christ, if there's no way that we can fit ourselves into the Scriptures that we read and study, maybe we need to throw this thing called the gospel in the trash. If we can't find ourselves anywhere in this gospel from Genesis to Revelation, maybe we need to check our walk. Maybe we need to check our belief system. But for a brief moment, I want to talk to us this morning, coming out of John chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and changing our route. Changing our route. During my wife's journey with her health, I was work, home, and church. Church, skip home, and go to work. And then it was vice versa some weeks. But something happened in the midst of my work, home, church, and then reversed the cycle. God had to do something in me to help me change my route, because my thinking was the same every day. I got up, put on my clothes, freshen up, put on my clothes, fix my lunch, go to work. I know I had to go to meetings after work, and I go to the meetings, and then I go home, and then I do the same thing all over again. But God says, wait a minute. That's how the enemy knows how to attack. Because, see, a lot of times we are content with the same old, same old. I'm going to get up. I'm going to have my morning coffee. I'll have a word of prayer. I'll read a devotional, and I'll do it every day until it comes religious, a religious practice. But God, according to the word of God, it says that those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. All of that is good, but don't let it just become a daily exercise that we are content with. See, God had to get me to a place where my routine had to change, my route had to change. I had to do some crying, some laying on my face. I had to do more fasting. And God says, guess what? I'll get it out of you one way or the other. We have to change our route. In this text in John chapter 4, watch this, and I'm going to run through these verses real quick for us. It says in verse 1, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Just to shed a little bit of light on this text, one of the most important things about this text is what was really going on. What was the underlying cause of all of this animosity between two groups of people? What was really going on? And a lot of times folk want to throw up black this, white that, and racism that been around, but there's always a root cause behind some stuff. We can even remember back, I've seen it on TV, the Hatfields and the McCoys. I used to like to watch that. Was the ongoing feud, generation after generation, the Hatfields and the McCoys were going at it. But there was always an underlying cause. According to the study on this text, the Jews looked down on the Samaritans as unclean. And likewise, the Samaritans also looked down on the Jews as unclean. According to the text, it says, when Joshua entered the land, he stopped in between two mountains, one called Ebal and the other called Gerizim. Gerizim meaning the mountain of blessing. Ebal meaning the mountain of cursing. Now, here is Joshua. They come with the Ark of the Covenant, and watch this. He says he stops and takes camp in the middle of these two mountains. Watch this. They have been carrying the ark for some time now, and now it's time to set it in place. According to Samaritan scripture, it places the ark at Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessing. Now, here's the conflict. According to Hebrew scripture, he places the ark at Mount Ebal, the mountain of cursing. Now we've got some conflict going on. There was a great animosity, according to the text, among the Jews and the Samaritans. And often the Jews would not travel such a way as in to get themselves into trouble, amen, with the Samaritan, because there was always beef going on. According to God's presence, everybody wants God's presence. Everybody needs the presence of God. The Protestants claim they got a good bead on the presence of God. Hear me well. The Catholics claim that they got a good bead on the presence of God. This is what a Samaritan and the Jews found themselves. Check around. Sundays are the most segregated days of the year. And it's okay to worship like you want to worship, but don't allow your true worship to be based on a skin color. The blood of Jesus is what binds us stronger than any glue. The Jews claim they had a good right. They had it on the mountain of blessings. Nobody wants the mountain of cursing. Who wants that? We would be plumb out of our minds. So this is where the underlying cause came. Because you don't sing like I sing. You don't worship like us. And you don't play the drums like us. And I don't know, my keyboard man in the back. You can't play like me. You don't play the guitar like me. So your worship is no good. And this is the stuff that brewed up from way back. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. So don't be fooled. The game remains the same, just the face has changed. I don't care whether it's from our local government up to the White House. The game remains the same, only the face has changed. But guess what? I got some good news for you. Now, y'all can't share this with everybody. It's between us and those who may be peeping on the broadcast. Watch this. There's something that God has in store for each of us. You can't tell everybody. It's between us, okay? If we are obedient to the Spirit of God, not to just our heritage, because see, I'm about to take us somewhere in a minute, and you're going to understand where I'm coming from. Any followers of Christ in the house? Any? Just one or two. Hey, Jesus had 12. That's good. We're going to be all right. When Jesus got to the woman at the well, the Bible says that he was weary. He was tired. He already foreknew because of his foreknowledge in the spirit that he carried. He already knew what was going on. And Jesus had to change his route because folk were back here arguing about something that was so minute, but God had dropped something in Jesus' spirit where he had to literally change his route. The route that Jesus took to go back to Judea was not his normal route. It was not his normal route, because normally, according to the text and the study on this text, they would go all the way around the city on the outskirts of the city because they were beefing. They had a thing going on, and they knew if they cut straight through, which was a more direct approach, they could be killed. But because it was not Jesus' time had not yet come, Jesus thought about it. I can just imagine in my sanctified imagination, I don't know, Dad, if I need to go through this cut, because they're looking for us. They don't like folk like us, and you know all the bad stuff has been going on. I just don't know. But Jesus, being obedient, changed his route. And he went to the well. And there he met a lady. He met a woman at the well, and he asked, he says, "Could you give me a drink?" And before I move too fast, let's watch this. Jesus, being a Jew, had no dealings with the Samaritans, according to culture. Y'all know how some of our cultures do. Come on, we're going to talk. We're going to be real. We all have roots. If you have no roots, you must be dead. Amen, somebody. I ain't never seen a plant without roots that could live. We all have roots. But the thing is, what do we do with them now? When bad stuff starts coming up, what do we do with them now? Can you imagine Jesus being raised a Jew whose family and culture had nothing to do with the Samaritans, but he's led to go to Samaria to meet this woman at the well, a woman that so desperately needed salvation. A woman that so desperately needed deliverance, needed healing, needed to be set free. But what if Jesus was disobedient? What if Jesus had did like a lot of us do in the flesh? Well, you know, I wasn't raised up with them folk. I don't know what mom and them gonna think. Great granddaddy be rolling over his grave. And we all have them. If you don't, amen for you. We all have them, but it boils down to a personal choice. What do you do when you have roots and bad stuff begins to spring up? Jesus was the perfect example. Jesus bypassed or surpassed all his cultural upbringing. Why? Because he was obedient, the Bible says, even to the death of the cross. It didn't matter how much Jesus' inner circle was talking. It didn't matter how many bad emails were sent out on Jesus. It didn't matter how many texts got sent out. It didn't matter how many stuff he got posted on Snapchat. Boy, you seen Jesus hanging out with them folk? He know he ain't supposed to go through Samaria. He can get his head chopped off, but Jesus wasn't worried. See, right now we got a whole lot of social media gangsters, social media racists, all this stuff. I'm saying it on both sides of the fence. Both sides of the fence. But Jesus walked this thing out. He didn't just, and prayers are good, social media, that's good if that's where you're at. But Jesus got into the thick of the thing. He says, "Now I'm not going to send a chain letter email out to folk telling them I'm on my way to Samaria, y'all look out for me." No, Jesus walked the walk himself, despite the cultural and racial differences at that time. Watch this. During this time, when Jews got ready to travel and they go all the way, the long way around, they tend to stay with kinfolk and friends that they knew. But here is Jesus setting the example, going way out on a limb where there's no kinfolk, there's no friends. In fact, there ain't nobody that looked like him on this route. God wants us as people and children of God to change our route. Yes, there's a pandemic. Yes, there's racism. There ain't nothing new about it. But the question is, what do we do? Do we take the safe route? Where all of our friends and family can look out for us, or are we going to trust the protection of God himself? Because when God sends you to an environment, he's already got protection set up. He's already put the words in your mouth to speak to an individual. That very place that we choose not to go is where God most of the time wants us to go. Somebody needs to see the love of Christ in his people. I was told this story more than once, but hear my heart. Hear my heart. Some years ago, way back. I was in a washer, washing clothes. And I was having one of those days, and I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. I'm just one of those tight folk. You know I ain't wrapped too tight. But watch this. I was getting my drink on. I had an adult beverage early in the morning, liquid cornflakes. Honestly, I was having my adult beverage and washing my clothes, and I saw a little short white lady. You think I'm short? She was short. But she was going around talking to different folk, and I'm sitting in the back, beginning to fold up my clothes, and I'm finishing up my adult beverage, and all I said in my mind, Lord, please don't let that woman come back here talking to me. Not today. I almost had a good day of mine at the end. I almost finished folding my clothes. My adult beverage is almost gone. I'm ready to go out the door. Please don't come back here with all that Jesus stuff. So she talked to a couple other folk, and the laundromat began to clear out. Everybody finished their business in there, and I was getting ready to leave, and I saw her standing like midway of the laundromat, and I'm trying to wait her out, man. But she was real cool with it, you know. She was just like looking down and stuff and reading a little bit, and then she'd do this. I said, golly, lady, why don't you go on and leave, man? So as I got my stuff and got ready to go, she turned her back, and I guess she didn't want to look at me. She probably already knew how I was feeling. But as I approached her and began to pass this young lady, this older white lady, she said one thing, and this is why I tell folk, you don't have to run up on folk trying to read and quote the whole Bible. This was a lady that did not look like me, did not think like me, because my mind was as far from Jesus as you could think. But all she said to me before I left is she said, baby, Jesus loves you. My life has never been the same. Little short white lady. But I was still taller than her. She made me feel tall. She didn't hand me a pamphlet. She didn't run through from Genesis to Revelation with me. All she said was, baby, Jesus loves you. What am I saying? Y'all ask some great questions. It does not matter the condition that you're in. You cannot mess up so bad that Jesus will throw you away. Not only was she operating in her calling, but she can see something hurting in me that I was too blind to even see. She knew that I needed Jesus. She didn't care about my skin color. She didn't care about my economic background. She didn't care about what side of the tracks I was from, what project I lived in. She just knew that I needed Jesus. So those of us that are gotten complacent with traveling the same route in this thing called the gospel, sometimes we got to change it. We got to go to places we never think to go before. We've got to talk and communicate with people that we think we would never, ever communicate with. Because everyone deserves salvation. Not deserves it, but they need it. Because truth be told, myself, I'd have been dead a long time ago. But because she just told me that Jesus loved me, my walk began to change. My talk began to change. The lens that I had over my eyes began to change. And through the help of the good Lord, I began to figure out what to do with some of those bad roots that I had, the feelings, the emotions that I had, the stuff, bad stuff began to spring up. If somebody hadn't planted seed in me, somebody that didn't look like me. We have to go places that no man has gone before. But we say we love the Savior. We jump up and down and we'll shout hallelujah. Plead the blood of the Lamb. But how are we walking? Or are we good with things as usual? We're called to be the visible representation of Christ here on earth. You won't get most folk in a beautiful facility like this. You won't get many folk to pick up this thing called the Bible. And we have all kind of access to the Bible now. But we won't get most folk to read it. Some folk won't even pick up a devotional. But guess what? When we go to work, they're reading you. When we go to the gym, they're reading you. When we go to wherever it is we hang out, when we come to worship practice, somebody is reading that thing called the gospel that lives in each and every one of us. We have got to be willing to change our Jesus was not concerned with his cultural background, how he was raised. He was not concerned with his personal safety. But Jesus was committed to being obedient to the Father and fixing this thing because they knew that there was a need in Samaria. There's a need in some of our communities. There's a need on some of our jobs. There's a need in some of our worship centers. See, there's a lot of people that come to church, I found out over time, but the church is not in them. They come to the building, sing the Zion songs. We jump up and down, and we clap when the pastor says clap, and we stand when he says clap. But we got to change our route because the enemy knows it. A lot of times we become programmed, but we got to change. Jesus, for all of us who are called by his name and called according to his purpose, must be willing to go in places where we normally don't go. Talk to individuals that we might not normally conversate with. That's right there in verse 4. But he needed to go to Samaria. He usually wouldn't go, but he went because he was obedient. Watch this second thing. We must be deliberate in our direction. Once we change our route, we must be deliberate in our action. What I'm looking at in this text, or looking to accomplish, this is one thing we have to say. We can't just be running all willy-nilly because when God gives kingdom vision, he gives kingdom provision. I see that here. From your pastor and those who have gone before him, there's been vision. And because it's kingdom vision, God has made kingdom provision. Things are happening, and I see it, and I bless God for that. We must be deliberate about our action. What is it that we're setting out to accomplish? What is it that I'm setting out to accomplish when I go in these neighborhoods or go talk to people that don't look like me, don't think like me, don't worship like me, may not sing like me? What am I looking to accomplish? Do I want another notch in my belt? Do I want another some type of award, community award? Do I want to be seen on the news? Do I want to be recognized by my peers? And all that's good in this place. But are we really going to help change somebody's life? By the words that we speak to an individual, sometimes could be between life and death. Oh, we'll dress up a mess real quick. We'll put on nice smelling perfume, our nice pressed clothes, and all that's good. But some of us, and I've been there, are a wreck on the inside. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. That's how I was in the laundromat. I was tore up. Oh, I looked strong. I looked like I had it all together, except for the adult beverage, but that's beside the point at that time. But I was a mess on the inside. I was dark. And here comes this little tiny lady, said, "Baby, Jesus loves you," and went on about her business. What is it that we're setting out to accomplish? She didn't have her name up in flashing lights. She didn't have on no special suit, no hat. She's just an unassuming lady having conversation. But she helped save my life, not change it, help save it. A lot of us are headed for a road of destruction because we're not willing to change our route. Well, Bunch, what you going to do with all this, Rachel, tension? I'm changing my route. I don't care who talk. I don't care who whisper. I don't care about the ugly emails, the Snapchats. I ain't got but one to answer to, and that's the my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ain't no man got a hell or heaven to put me in. I took an oath to be committed as my Savior, even to the death of the cross. Jesus in his text begins to set up dialogue, and this is what the little lady did. Set up dialogue between himself and the Samaritan woman, heading in the direction of forgiveness and salvation. We know sports has kind of been out of whack since the pandemic. But if God sends us to an individual, and that might be an icebreaker, talk about some stuff, tell a big fish stories, you know, the one that got away and all that. But my main point, if I start talking to an individual, God sends me to an individual, the Spirit of the Lord is working. I didn't come to talk to you about soap operas. Ain't got no conversation about hockey either. NASCAR. I know it's a lot of NASCAR lovers. I know. Basketball. My primary objective is to somehow bring up salvation. I got to. Because me being a Laker fan ain't going to save your life. I'm an old Louisiana boy. I like the New Orleans Pelicans. They're coming up. They can get back together. But that, yeah, they need it. But that's not my primary source. None of that's going to save you or me. We'll talk about that later. But once I know, once I let you know that Jesus loves you and you're on your way somewhere, we're going to be all right. Then we can get to talking about basketball. Then we can get to telling the fish stories about the one, the big one that got away and all that stuff. But everything else is secondary. I need to know that you're safe. I need to know that you're all right. I need to know that your future is secure in Jesus Christ. There's a jokester in here, and I won't point him out. There's actually a couple, and I'm not going to look at him because he's going to know I'm talking about him. But in verse 7, Jesus engages in a conversation, watch this, based on the context. And he's not wearing a white shirt and a pretty wife with a red skirt on. That's not him. So don't look back there towards the sound booth. But Jesus engages in a conversation based on the context, watch this, of the circumstances. Like I said, my love for Lakers ain't going to save you. Jesus being weary from the journey, according to the word of God, what sparked her attention was, hey, get a cup of water, brother thirsty. I've been walking, man. It's, couldn't get no Uber. Nobody picked me up. The Lyft ain't answering their phone. Could you help me out? Just could you get me some water? And it sparked her attention. She could see that he was dusty. She could see from the journey that he was tired and needed some water. But me? You must not be from around these parts. Jews have nothing to do with Samaritan women. And it was real rough for women back in the day, no disrespect. If you didn't have a husband or some type of covering, culture had it, that you would be in trouble. I'm going to leave it that way. I'm going to keep it PG. But he engages in a conversation that grabs her. Grabs her attention. What is it that we talk about that's all over the place and has nothing to do with nothing? Brother, I call my brother, and it's been a minute since I talked to that guy in a white shirt and his pretty wife in a red skirt. I ain't pointing no fingers, but I talk to these guys, and your pastor and his wife checks regularly because they know my, you know, pray for me. I'm one of God's special need childs, and I'll explain that in a minute. But they check on me because they have the heart of God. Their conversation is not, Bunch, when the last time you went fishing, man? How's work going, man? No, they want to know not about Pastor Bunch. That's a title. But how's David doing? How's the journey going with your wife? Because the truth of the matter is, not only is my mind and my heart on God, but my mind and my heart is on my first ministry that God gave me, and that was my wife. Don't be fooled. If we doing all this extra running and ain't taking care of our spouses, that's a word for somebody, we out of line with God. But they check on me. They brought up a circumstance. And we remember the blessing that the widow got in 1 Kings 17 and 10. The prophet Elijah also asked for a drink of water, and the blessing that came behind that with the widow at Zarephath. Wow. Where? At the well. I'm going to leave you with this. Watch this. In this text, according to the times, she's not only a woman, a divorcee, but a Samaritan, a people who look down as outcasts and degenerates, excuse me. Jesus not only engages, but he directs the conversation towards spiritual matters. I'm done when I tell you this. Bunch, what you gonna do when racism knocks on your doorstep, when racism comes in your ministry, when racism shows up at your job? I'm gonna direct them to spiritual matters. Because I serve a God, we've heard said, sits high and they look low. The principalities of this government has been placed on the shoulders of his son. And if they can't dethrone my Christ, the God that I serve, I'm going to be all right. We've got to trust God through this thing. We've trusted him through every pandemic. This is not the first one that have come through. We've trusted him through our financial reversal stuff that we've had going on at home. You think this racism thing is too big for God? If he handled it back then, he's still doing it now. But he needs his people to take a stand. The visible representation of Jesus Christ. We can't just sit down and, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. I know he's going to handle it. Lay on your face. Fast. Pray. And go where Jesus went. Amen. God bless you.
Yeah. My monkey bars. Thank you, brother. Well, isn't it good to know that the gospel is being preached on this property every Sunday in more than one place? And I have said this before, there's no competition between my brother and I. So if I ever tick you off and you want to go next door, that is great. And if you are just like, hey, I want to go check them out some Sunday, feel free to go visit. If I see your car on the, you know, the parking lot and I don't see you in 6 months, or you're like, hey, I'm going over to Grace Life now, you're not going to hurt my feelings at all. In fact, me and several pastors over the time have talked about, you know, having a draft and a trade. You know, hey, I'll trade you this member for that member. But you want that? Yeah. But it is great to have them as neighbors, great and appreciative of the message God gave you to share with us today. I appreciate that.
Again, I thank God for the opportunity. Not only is this the guy I call Brother Dad, Pastor Jack and his wife, January 15th, my wife took an ugly turn health-wise. Right before she went critical, I'm glad that my baby girl was there to hear us. We thought it was medication. She said, and about 15 minutes later, she went critical. They were at the hospital, and I didn't even know it. She said he rolled the stone away. I looked at my daughter and I'm like, and she looked at me and I'm like, maybe it's the medicine. And she said, y'all didn't hear that? I'm like, no. She said, he said he rolled the stone away. He already had an escape for her. That he was not going to let her die. Thank you all for your prayers. It's been hard. And I'll leave you with this. You notice your pastor set the platform over here because he knew I wouldn't be able to see y'all if he was still sitting on the bricks.
Well, let's pray as we prepare to close out with one last song. Let's pray for his wife is Miss Belinda Bunch. So if y'all would maybe write a note down to keep her in your prayers, and then we'll worship God as we pray. God, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for the message that you have shared with us today, that it all comes back to Jesus. God, I thank you for the family of God. I thank you that we are different shades of the same kind, that we are all human, that we are all your creation. We are all loved by you. And so, God, help us to use the platform that you have given us in our jobs, in our family, in our church, wherever you have placed us, whatever shade of color that we are, to be about the gospel and to be about Jesus. That, Lord, we would not be distracted by these secondary things, and that we would not be divided by these secondary things, but we would be united around the cross of Jesus, that we would be united around him because that was his prayer and his desire for us. Lord, we do lift up Miss Belinda. We ask that you continue to work in her health, continue to touch her and heal her and restore her back to complete health so that she might be able to walk and stand and be in support of her husband as they together minister to the people and to the church that you have entrusted to them over at Grace Life. God, we lift them up as well. We ask that you provide for them supernaturally. We pray that you would send the people to them that they can minister to and that they can also lead to become passionate followers of Jesus. I thank you for their motto, that they love you to life. And so we thank you for that. We love you. We thank you that it is because of you, you have brought us together, that we are unified and that we do have life and that we have freedom. It is in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Let's worship.